In this episode of Bear Podcast, the Bio City Pups join us. Stay tuned.
Bear Podcast 558.
Bigger than the Earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needs to be slapped.
Strip Cards Against Humanity.
And it's Sunday night. Did you do the sing-along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it. We had pleasure. That's great.
Is how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray.
And welcome to episode 558. And it's a Tuesday, March 3rd, 2015. Yes, and it's a sad week. It's a sad week. Because our beloved Leonard Nimoy died just a few days ago. Yeah. Live long and prosper. Well, he didn't.
We did live long. I mean,
he did live long.
That's
did
pretty
live
good,
long.
So.
Yeah. Can you do that? Can you do your hand thing?
I did.
See, Ray has a problem doing the.
I have to move one finger. I have to separate it.
It's a separate manually. Yeah. Yeah, it's a separate finger.
So, and then they start to slow back, and then I have to force them back apart again. So,
but yeah. There you go. So, anyway, so Leonard Nimoy died at 83, something pulmonary.
Yeah.
He's been suffering it. And I guess he won't have any more cameos for future Star Trek movies now. Nope. So, it's really sad.
Very sad.
Yeah. And it's just, it's really a sad day for the cinema, for sci-fi, for all sci-fi fans.
It's a sad day for Star Trek universe.
Yep.
Because all that's left now is Uhura, Sulu.
Sulu and Shatner
and
Chekhov.
That's right. Chekhov's all right. Chekhov's the baby of all of them, I think.
Yeah, I think he's the youngest, yeah.
I think he's the youngest, so, yeah.
Okay, so rest in peace, Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock.
That's right.
Okay, so let's do some...
Weekend updates.
Weekend updates.
What'd you do? What'd you
I've
do?
Been...
What'd you do?
I went to the... It's a tournament last weekend, last Sunday, and it's just a fundraiser. I don't even remember.
What kind of tournament was it?
The softball tournament.
Oh, softball. Oh, yeah.
However, it was raining so hard, and I would look at the website, Houston Sportsplex. They won't call it rained out. They said games are still on for the day. It's not. There's no rain out. So everybody went there. It was raining, and it's so muddy and everything, and it's so hard to run on the fields because you know it's muddy. And then you end up sliding left and right, so it's pretty dangerous. And they let us play still.
Well, if you like playing in the mud.
Not really, no. I'm not. I'm way too, germ freak about, just running around in the mud.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so yeah.
No mud wrestling for you.
No mud wrestling for me, no. Okay, then we lost both our games, but it was fun. It was fun, so. Yeah. And then just went home. What do you call this? How about you? What did you do?
I had a busy weekend. I joined the gym.
Yes. Ray's going to be a muscle bear now.
Yeah, I'm going to be a muscle bear. We got a long way to go on that one. But last week, I'd been having some issues with diabetes.
Diabetes?
And my sugar. My sugar was high. My sugar had been very high for the last couple weeks.
Uh-huh.
And the doctor, I went to see my endocrinologist. He jumped all over my ass. And... can't figure out why it went up, but he gave me some more medication, and he said, you need to exercise. So I'm exercising.
Good.
And I got to lose 10 pounds between now and the end of April. So.
10 pounds? That's my goal, too. I'm trying to
get that down, and then we got to work on the other 50.
So. 10 now, 50 later.
Later, yeah. So
yeah.
If we can do 10 every couple months, we'll be okay.
So where do you go? 24 Fatness or LA Fatness?
LA Fatness.
LA Fatness.
Yeah, so...
Well, that's good. That's good.
And Robbie's benefits is paying for it. I don't have to pay for anything, so it's great.
Oh, that's good.
It's good to be a Trader Joe, be on Trader Joe's benefits. Yeah. So, went and saw The Kingsman. Have you seen that yet?
No, I heard it's really good.
It's very good.
It's very good.
Mr. Taron Egerton. Oh, you are such a cute little actor.
He's the new guy. There,
yeah,
right?
he's the young James.
He's the young James Bond. Okay.
So he is so cute. But good movie. A lot of action pace. Samuel L. Jackson did a great job. I think it was very upbeat. It made fun of spy movies and espionage and all stuff, but it was still a good movie, so I thought it was great.
Good. That's good to hear.
And then, of course, last night I got let down.
Why? What happened?
AT&T. It was tragic. Just
what
tragic.
Happened? You can't watch RuPaul.
It recorded RuPaul, but there was no sound. on either showing of it. So I realized it because we got done watching The Voice, and then we jumped over to RuPaul. There was no sound.
Oh, no.
At all coming through. So I set it to record the second showing of it. No sound. This morning we restarted the box and it came back up and there was sound on logo.
Your only chance right now is to watch it online.
Better. They're probably going to replay it 30,000 times this week.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah, so we'll watch it then.
It'll be too late though. So
but now everybody's already talking about it. I'm like, oh, good grief. So,
okay.
So anyway. All right. So that was my weekend.
So we kind of have a different format today because we're going to have some guests,
yes.
But we'll talk about it later. So we're going to move things around. So we're going to do the gay, the geek, and the bizarre right now.
Okay.
So go, Ray, with the gay.
The gay is opposites attract study reports zero HIV transmission.
Mm-hmm.
Interim results for the Kirby Institute's Opposites Attract study has reported zero HIV transmissions between men in serodiscordant couples, where one is HIV positive and one is HIV negative, where the positive partner has undertaken treatment and has an undetectable viral load. The results reflect similar outcomes to that seen overseas in research such as the Partner Study, which also reported zero transmissions between serodiscordant heterosexual couples where the positive partner was on treatment. So basically they're saying that, and actually my doctor taught this because I dated someone that was HIV positive one time, and he said intercouple infection is like that, oh, it's 99.9% impossible as long as the positive partner is on treatment and they have an undetectable viral load.
Okay.
And he said, every couple that's been one HIV positive, one HIV negative, and the negative one becomes positive, it's because that one's went out and was having extra marital affairs and got it from somebody else, but they didn't get it from their partner.
They thought that if they can take this guy, they can take their partner if they cheat on them. And
yeah, they didn't know that the person was positive. So, but it's very interesting that this is, you know, there's longest non-detectable viral load that in their own treatment that it's.
Yeah. I heard about that, you
next,
know.
Next to zero transmission rates. I mean, it's there, but you still have to be.
So, also for heterosexual couples, if the guy is HIV positive but undetectable, he can have sex with his wife and have babies.
Yeah.
And the wife can be not infected.
Yes.
So, yeah, if the guy is really undetectable, which is.
Yeah. And they're saying in the report that essentially we're seeing among the gay couples enrolled in Opposites Attract is that HIV transmission is quite unlikely when someone's viral load is undetectable. In fact, no HIV negative man in the study has contracted HIV from his positive partner. Mm-hmm. So
that's kind of good to hear.
So that's a plus.
That's a plus. And then what if, let's say, they're both in treatment. The HIV positive guy is having treatments, while the one is negative is taking PrEP.
Yeah, could work. It could be even more.
It can work even more. Yeah,
they're saying that the risk of transmission could be anywhere between 0 to 4.2% per year, with a very small chance that the per year risk could be higher than 2.4. And that all depends on lifestyle, taking your medications correctly, drugs, alcohol, and how that affects your body, and genetics. I mean, the biggest thing with most people is genetics. So, but that was a pretty good study, I think. And that's the same thing I learned when I was. My doctor told me, and I think Julio, who was on here last week, has also said the same thing. That, so
that you can be, you can, with low viral loads, and if you're all undetectable, you should be good.
Okay.
That's good to hear. Okay. So should we move on?
Yes. On to the geek.
Okay, we're going to do the geek. And I know you guys, probably watching this, have this device in your, probably, Devin's wearing a watch right now. It's one of those, wearable computing things.
I think he uses that as his cock ring, doesn't he?
He uses a Pebble for a cock ring?
I think.
All right. Okay, so Pebble introduces a premium steel version of its color smartwatch. So it's now colored.
Devin, why are you going to be all racist?
it's a racist portable computer. Okay, so it's only been a week since Pebble introduced, this is what I hate about Android, it's really unstable. Okay, it's only been a week.
That's why I have the iPhone 6 Plus now.
I know. Since Pebble introduced Pebble Time, its second generation color smartwatch, And there's also, it's already a new version of it up for grabs. Today at Mobile World Congress, the company has just announced Pebble Time Steel, a premium all-metal iteration of the Time. Yeah, there's Pebble Time, Pebble Steel now, Time Steel. So indeed, the entirety of the Time Steel from the bezel to the buttons is made out of stainless steel and is available in silver, black, and gold finishes. It has the same dimensions as the Time, but about 1 millimeter thicker. That isn't so bad, especially since the Time Steel apparently has a long battery life of up to 10 days instead of 7. Wow. What is wearable devices. As if that wasn't luxurious enough, when you buy a Pebble Time Steel, you'll get two straps, a stainless steel band, plus a leather one. Okay. So, Ray, leather. Are you interested with these watches?
Nah.
No, not at all?
I haven't worn watches in years. Ever since I got a cell phone, like an iPhone or something, mm-hmm. I don't wear watches anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
And I've gotten a couple nice ones, and I keep them, but I just don't ever wear them because...
I haven't worn
mainly because I'm hell on them because I beat stuff. I run into stuff and hit it all the time. So yeah. I used to destroy watches pretty quick.
Yeah, I myself, ever since I got a phone, I never used a watch myself. Because
now all I got to do is hit the button. Siri, what time is it?
That is so lazy. You just press the button and see the time and screen. You have to ask Siri? Good
God. I just need Siri with a little more ghetto black woman voice. And yeah. What you talking about, Willis?
It would be nice if it's a Yoda voice or something. Yeah. All right, let's go to the Bizarre Ray.
Okay, Bizarre. Now, Maynard asked me, why did you put this into Bizarre? This is a gay. Yes, it's a gay thing, but the whole storyline is closeted gay teen. Today, I discovered my homophobic dad is using Grindr. So how bizarre is it that you'd find your dad on Grindr?
Yeah, it is bizarre.
So, okay. I'll read the article because it's kind of short. So, a closet gay teen made a shocking discovery while going through his father's phone. The teen, has been using the gay hookup app Grindr. The teen writes, found out that my homophobe dad has Grindr on his iPhone when he asked me to go fetch it from the car. I'm still closeted, denial, curious, so I know what Grindr is, even though I don't have it myself. This makes it so much more confusing for me. And this was on Reddit that he put this out there. Mm-hmm. So, But anyway, he put it out there on Reddit asking some questions. And here's some words of wisdom that came out from this. A closeted married gay guy on Grindr might have some intense homophobia going on that he could take out on the queer kid in his care. Tread carefully. IMO coming out before moving out is a bad idea in a situation this complicated.
In my opinion.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was like, what is a medical term doing here?
But it's anyway, not a medical term.
My dad was extremely homophobic before I came out to him when I was 18. He ended up doing a total 180 after going to therapy and eventually became the president of our local P-Flag chapter. Wow. Good for your dad.
That's awesome.
He later told me that he was bisexual and admitted that his homophobia was due to his own self-hatred around being bisexual. It completely blew my mind at the time. I'm telling you, he was the worst homophobic asshole. After accepting myself for being gay, I hated him for a long time for how homophobic he was. It took him a few years after I came out, but it was the best possible outcome I could have hoped for. So, and he goes on to say he hopes his dad is there. So,
wow.
But a couple of people saying was, surprise him with a sub sandwich and say, here, dad, I thought you might like a grinder. Wink and then leave the room. Or come back with coffee, beans fresh from the grinder. Because the kids asking, how do I talk to my dad about this? That was the question on Reddit, was how do I talk to my dad? And these are the responses to this. So, the teen responded to everybody a few days later. Hi, all. I appreciate the kind words of help and encouragement. I don't know how to explain it in details, though. Dad stood in denial and went on the defensive, even tried to question my own sexuality. Mom still does not know, and that pains me. I guess he would still be that closet homophobe and I, that closet homo who is too shit to do more. Maybe all this is just in my head. Maybe I'm just thinking too much. Yeah. So it's got to be kind of odd that here you are, a gay teen, and this guy's, the dad's probably our age. I'd assume if the teenager is.
Yeah, at this point,
stuff.
Yeah, he's got to be.
So the dad's probably bisexual. He has problems with it, but he can't fight there just so he hooks up on Grindr.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, but what if the teen had been on the app and the father would have saw him?
And then they end up hooking up.
No, that only helps in porno movies.
No, that's only in porn.
Okay. And fan fiction. And gay fan fiction.
Especially if one says, you know, I'm going to...
In a nifty youth.org chapter. Huh?
Wait, I heard this story before that somebody kind of accidentally hooked up with his dad. Like it's anonymous on Craigslist, something like that. And then he was in a hotel room. And then next thing you know, the one coming in was his dad or his uncle or something like that. Oh, and then, oh... Sorry, son. Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I remember a story like that some time ago.
Yeah. So I think it's creepy. I think it would be kind of odd. I mean, I know father sons who are gay and they're both out.
Yes.
So I mean, I'm sure it's laughing. It's like, oh, dad's on Grindr again trying to hook up. Welcome to Bear Podcast. And tonight we have the Bayou City Pups with us. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
All right. Yes.
We're here to talk about pup play. Mainly because it's kind of a trendy thing, I think, is what somebody said
it's
earlier.
It's trending.
What?
It's trending on Twitter.
Well, it's more of a trending thing now than it was 7 years ago when somebody approached me about pup play, and I had no clue what the hell it was. So, but
first
now they're resources.
Oh, yeah, that's right. First, we should introduce them.
Yeah. Well, okay. Give me a second.
Okay, all right, okay.
Maynard.
Okay.
It's my segment.
Oh, it's your segment. Okay, go ahead.
But,
all right.
Oh,
oh. Whoa!
The cat fighting
oh my God.
Started.
I'm just the one.
People wonder how pup play starts. It starts with being catty.
So anyway, that's what brought this up. And these guys, y'all just formed what? How long? It was what, back in the fall?
Yes, in September.
In September. Okay. So, well, introduce yourselves. Since Mayor pointed that out.
Okay, I guess I'll start. My name is Chip, but my pup name is Rock. And I've been a pup for about 19 years. And I'm the treasurer of the Bayou City Pups, and I'm a process manager.
Oh. I'm Pup Chip. I've known I was a pup for about 7 years or so, and I'm the founding secretary of Bayou City Pups.
I'm Pup Tank, and I am the founding vice president of the Bayou City Pups. I've been a pup for a little over 5 years.
I was also a founder.
Pup Andrew, uncollared at the moment, and I actually am more of a self-realized pup recently, so it's been about 6 months.
Oh, wow.
And okay. I am pledging for the Bayou City Pups at the moment.
Oh.
We may let him in.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, he's here out of, I guess, necessity.
Because you were forced. Yeah. All right, so tell us what the viewers... If I'm just Joe Blow off the street, what in the hell is pup play?
Yeah, what is pup play?
All right. So for those of you who don't follow our Facebook page, we actually are going to be doing a class on this in March. But to kind of give it the simplest answer I can always give is, did you guys grow up with pets?
Yes.
Okay. Did you grow up with dogs?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you ever have that moment when... you were a kid where you played with your dogs and like romped around and threw the toys with them and kind of barked at them and they barked back and you went around with dogs. Okay, imagine that as an adult, and not just because it's fun, but because similar to, you know, some people identify it as like a spirit animal kind of thing. Some people say it has to do with energy. Some people say it has to do with... just the way that you identify. Mm-hmm. Now, that also translates into, you know, the romping around, the running around, and things like that. But then there's also a sexual side to it as well. For some people, not for everyone. Okay. Some people keep it completely within the realm of like running around and playing as a pup. And some people take it into a sexual fetish as well. So it really depends on each individual pup. And I have to say the pups... are probably the most all-encompassing group of people within the fetish community, because we have rubber puppies, leather puppies, non-any of that puppies. It spans the gamut. But
slave puppies, non-slave puppies. Just if because your pup doesn't mean you're a sub.
An identifier, it's also a puppy. Right.
Yes, you can be any of those things, but it's really just more about a mentality and the overwhelming urge to have that breakout moment of what we call puppy headspace, where you... kind of lose that human side to yourself for a few minutes, sometimes longer, and just have fun. And yeah.
I don't steal the mic, take it away from me.
I do have a question. So is it like when you're going to play,
It's going to be like somebody's house. It's going to be an agreed place. So how does it go?
Give me.
Okay. can be all of the above, actually. Most of the time, it's pre-planned out at someone's house or a private space. We do our moshes at the Ripcord. So they can be anywhere.
What's a mosh?
Yeah, mosh. What's a mosh?
Okay.
I only had one kind of mosh. So, you know, in concerts.
Not that type.
Almost the same, but it's almost all the same. Horse.
Leave that with dogs.
Yeah,
I like
with
that.
Dogs.
Okay. Yeah.
Only not bio dogs. Pups.
Okay.
What?
We're talking about mosh.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
At
the Ripcord. Yeah.
Yeah, our last one, there was, I don't know, like 40. No. Like 20 puppies. And we had a designated 4 people supervising that we had prepared to have them there. I was overseeing everything, and then we had 3 or 4 people show up just at the event to volunteer. So when they go puppy headspace, most people just kind of, this one becomes a greedy little thing that steals all the toys and won't let anyone touch them. But at the same time, it's a very vulnerable thing. So that's why we have the people to oversee and make sure that everything's okay, because when I go puppy, I cease thinking like a person, so that's not fair.
That's not fair. That's interesting. So you do have designated places. You ahead of time, you do that.
If you're looking to do a scene of some sort, definitely. But I think, especially for a lot of us, we have pup moments. I mean, I'll bark at cars when I'm stuck in traffic and I'm pissed at them. It's just kind of an outflowing of part of my personality, of who I am. It is a component of my being. It's not necessarily I'm a pup here and I'm a human here. There's kind of this gray area where, I mean, when we're out and about, not in a puppy context, we'll even howl and bark, and that's ways that we'll show excitement or applause or any number of things.
Ride home because of the full moon.
I already noticed it on the way out.
Oh, really?
We have a squeaker.
It's not quite full yet.
So what are the terms in puppy play? I know there's like puppy, trainer, handler. What are some of the...
Who are the actors? Actors, but who are the involved people? Yeah. Sorry, involved entities. I don't know what to say. Oh, there we go.
You can go.
There you go, Andrew.
Give him the mic.
If you get it right, you get good points.
Oh, yeah.
I'm taking the bones away first. If you get it right, you get 1 bone for each one you get right.
All right. Well, I think when you're talking about the roles that, you know, people play within the community for that, and I think it just depends on your relationship with that person as well. So there's puppy and handler. Then you also have, there could be a group of puppies as well. There's alpha. Then you have beta, and there was omega, correct? So you know, you have those like a hierarchy within a pup group as well. When you're within a bunch of puppies, and then you also have a handler that can take over multiple puppies or just one puppy. Okay. So, and you know, and within our community, we have a little mix of everything. So.
And very much the thing that it always kind of comes back to is imagine any, and then we call them bio dogs, the real 4-legged canines that you have as pets.
The real ones.
Anything you would see a bio dog doing or a pack of wolves doing or something like that, that pretty much translates into the pup lifestyle. It's almost like role-playing in many ways, of taking on that persona mentality. And so you, like you're referring to, you have your alphas and your betas like you would have in a normal pack. There's kind of a pecking order, and it's not even necessarily a sexual thing. It's just kind of where you fall.
Let me guess who the omega is right now.
Oh.
That would be correct. It's okay.
That would be correct.
Okay. So the kind of a last of the pack or something.
Now, we also want to make sure that people don't confuse this. This is not bestiality.
No.
Okay.
That is called pet play.
Biggest misconception ever.
Yes.
That is pet play, not puppy play.
No. Totally different.
That's right. That's a whole different genre on the X2 video track.
tune in next week.
But actually,
depending on which Tumblr you subscribe to.
You just asked, can you repeat your short attention span?
Oh, God, I forgot. I
about the
squirrel.
About the
what?
What?
Squirrel?
Come on, Ray. You even getting into a rat in a rabbit hole.
Oh, Omega. Last
Omega. Yeah. Explain Omega.
It's, well, what a lot of people like to say that it means is that it means slave, or, but that's the furthest from the truth. Omegas are...
Sometimes,
yes. Omegas are normally the hardest working members of the group.
Oh, okay.
They do a lot of things, and they normally do things that we don't have time to do because we're doing other stuff. Or if we just really want to be evil and say, I don't want to do this, you do it.
Oh, okay.
Somebody has to clean up the piddle.
It's like a fraternity.
Well, that's his job.
But it's also not just doing things. It's also a mentality thing because a lot of times Omegas are the people who are just now getting into it and learning and starting to really explore this side. So they take on more of like a – think about it like in corporate America. When someone gets hired in, a lot of times, think about an Omega as like the intern.
Yeah.
Okay. They don't know the workings of the company. They don't know how things are going. They get pulled in as the intern first, and then they, you know, continue to grow and learn. And they may go from Omega to Alpha. They may go from Omega to Beta. But it really has to do with like a almost unseen pecking order of people who have certain types of personalities. Whether it's dominant personalities or dominant work ethics or things like that, it kind of creates that structure.
Okay. Yeah. So you talked about alpha. You have an omega. It's explained, and you have an alpha and beta. Mm-hmm. So what is the difference between the alpha and the beta? Well,
me and him. No, but he's an alpha too. But
That's actually not true.
But no, the. So there's a couple of different definitions around alpha and beta. So when you look at alpha and beta in a pack mentality, it usually has to do with the person who is, you know, really kind of guiding everything is usually the more alpha persona.
Okay.
Think of them in corporate America like the manager.
All right, okay.
And then think of the betas as like the, you know, assistants. They're
people betas.
Who are,
okay.
Yeah, they're... kind of like the secondary, you know, in command kind of thing.
Okay.
They have both more assertive traits and more recessive traits.
Yes. And they're kind of the, you know, go out and do a lot of work people as well when you talk about task-driven things. But then when you talk about relationship structures, there's alpha and beta as well. Which is translates more towards the more dominant persona, the more submissive persona in certain aspects. So, for example, like we're partners, but I am his alpha.
Okay.
But he also has a beta.
Oh, okay. So
and
he,
I'm his handler.
And he's my handler, and I'm his handler.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So you're not confused yet.
You kind of handle each other. All right.
Exactly.
Okay. More ways than one.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. It's like, you know, what do you call that? Pipeline skiing.
Yeah.
So during the mosh, you're doing a mosh, what is the attire?
Wow, that's very, that depends on the venue.
I say
that
we give it to the secretary to give us a politically correct answer.
All right, okay.
Proper attire is set by the organizing entity that is putting together the mosh.
Oh, okay.
And the venue, and the state in which you're in, and the municipality, and all the legal laws. Some moshes have a much more higher sexual connotation than others. Some moshes are fully clothed, and one other caveat we should throw out there, pups are not furries, necessarily.
But think of like a furry cuddle pile. That could be a version of a mosh. Think of a giant pup orgy. That could be a mosh. And anywhere in between. So a lot of times you'll see pups wearing tails. It might either be butt plugs or strap-ons. Mm-hmm. You'll see pups in harnesses. You'll see pups in jocks. You'll see it really kind of
body suit.
Yeah,
as long as it's soft and not restrictive and doesn't have hard surfaces to injure someone, it's pretty much acceptable.
And that's really the biggest thing in a mosh is safety has to come first, because when you kind of get in pup headspace, you just start having fun and kind of lose focus on everything, like the fact that you might have blood pouring out of your mouth or something like that. So.
Okay.
I was not pointing fingers.
I am,
but he is. It's not my fault.
But things like that happen because you're doing more canine type things, which canine bodies are built for and human bodies aren't necessarily designed for. So you have to have those safety elements of, you don't want those big spiky collars because you're going to scratch someone. You don't want dangly jewelry because you might get choked, things like that. So there are certain safety aspects that have to kind of override every mosh, but it really kind of depends on what mosh you're going to. Mm-hmm.
Really, I can give input because I've led really big moshes.
Input!
Like how big? Like 100 people?
I ran the 2014 puppy mosh at MAL.
Oh, MAL, okay. That's pretty big, okay.
What we required was we had to adhere to DC standards, so you could not have exposed genitalia. You had to have at least a 1-inch strip of cloth covering your anus.
Okay. So it's like Texas law.
Yeah. Yes. That was all that we had to meet. We added on top of it of no sharp pointy anything. If your collar has studs, it had to be removed. If you had a really long, obnoxiously large chain, and I don't say that as a bad thing, it's when you're in a mosh and they can fling, you can get caught and choke, or you can smack people in the face with it. And it's really bad. The one thing that we always push is no hard-toed shoes or hard sole. So at a leather event, what's everyone wearing? Combat boots.
Yeah.
And they have to come off. It's
kind of awkward. You know, leather and everything, then you're barefoot, I guess.
People
are not ready.
Well, most people who go to a puppy mosh come prepared.
Oh, yeah.
They come with whatever they're going to be wearing. They might not have it on when they get there, but they'll change before they come into the mosh.
And explain kind of what the setup is, too, with the mats and gates and stuff like that.
Chaos. Pure chaos.
In a good way.
I coined the term circle of trust when I was doing it. And what that was, we set up however many mats we had in a designated area, and then we put a ring of chairs around it for only handlers, if the handler had their puppy in the mosh, were allowed to be in that area. So that way all puppies knew that the people around, that were sitting in the area were people that you could trust and go up to if you needed something. All the observers had to stand on the outside. They could still watch, potentially interact if they bent over and stuck out their hand, but then it was the puppy's choice on whether or not they wanted to interact with that person, because they could look at you and just go, mm-mm. Wow. Or, and they didn't have to worry about you walking up and grabbing them.
Wow, okay. I'm curious about something. Is there any kind of simulated fights? Or fights?
Yes.
Or real fights.
I know.
I wouldn't say.
You mean the softcore porn that they
play? Oh, that happens all the time.
Play?
So we.
That happens all the time.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll address this as two separate things. One, which is something that I don't agree with, and I don't think anybody in our little panel agrees with, but they actually do have a human puppy version of dog fights. Okay.
I was just thinking about
that.
There is one. Okay.
So that does exist.
There's everything.
There's everything. It does exist. It is frowned upon because you really shouldn't try and exploit your puppy, who honestly, when you're in puppy headspace, you're probably in the most, like, you're probably in one of the most vulnerable states that you could possibly be in, because you become innately trusting of a lot of people very easily, just like a lot of dogs are. Mm-hmm. And manipulating human pups into that, I don't necessarily recommend, although it is for some people, and, you know, that's fine. But we do, when we have moshes, we have territory wars.
There you go.
So,
case in point, this one. Everything becomes his. He puts it in a corner. He stands over it and bullies everyone away from it.
Oh, wow.
And he'll deny it, but he never remembers it. So that's why he denies it.
So, okay. No, I know I do it. I know I do it because I'm told that I do it. But honestly, it's... It becomes a territory war. It's like, you have a toy that I want. We're going to fight over it. We're going... Sorry, he took my book. he's lucky I like him. For example, at our last mosh, we actually had someone come in, and we were given instructions on this new toy that was brought in. It's big, looks like a soccer ball with two handles on it. And we were told, try to destroy it. Oh, don't say that to a puppy.
They said destroy it in 30 minutes.
Yeah, and it was destroyed in 28 minutes. Okay. So it became a fight.
Toy.
It's one of those that are supposed to be used for large dogs so that they can't destroy it. Yeah, we destroyed it.
Okay.
It was ripped open by a pup out of New Orleans pup trash. And
with teeth?
It was fun. Yes.
Really? So this is I guess it's really more teeth action or mouth. Everything, I guess, is mouth action.
Well, really, when you talk about puppy play, if you don't mind, I don't know if people would be able to see it, but I can show you, like, a common stance.
All right.
That we go into.
Okay.
So, you know, whether you wear, I'm not really dressed appropriately for this, but, okay, there it is right there, too.
It comes natural.
Exactly. But it's really all about being on all fours when you're doing it. I identify as a Rottweiler, so I usually take a larger posture as soon as I get into puppy headspace. But it's really, we usually wear gloves.
Keep going. Sorry. I'm going to get the camera.
Okay.
Keep going.
But we usually are wearing either some sort of a glove or a mitt or something like that to protect our knuckles or our hands. And then we go down into either a fist position, or we go down into a paw position, depending on what we're doing. If we're just standing, it's usually like a paw position. But if we're going to be running around, it's usually fists because it's easier on us. But our toes usually kind of tuck in behind us, kind of like ballerina feet almost, which is another reason for soft soled shoes. And you basically are in this position. And you run around and you play tug of war. So, you know. Oh, you must have it. But, but like, for example, we might do like a tug of war with a bone back and forth in that position. But it's, and now he's stealing all of them. He says I steal them. But we'll do tug of wars and pull on them and kind of fight over it, because that's what we do. That's what puppies do. Imagine if you ever grew up with more than one puppy fighting over the favorite toy. I also kind of do the death head shake thing to toys, so...
All right.
And you'll notice we're all kind of playing around and
we do this all the time.
This is normal puppy behavior.
Okay.
And we're not necessarily in headspace.
Since there's a lot of teeth action, I guess there's kind of some danger also of loss of teeth.
Yes.
For that reason, actually, we try to limit toys that can catch on your teeth and actually damage teeth. We like to keep to rubber toys, actually.
Okay.
Things like
this. Things like this are good. The only downfall when using them in a mosh is when you bite them, they're dog toys. They're intended for a dog. Human teeth
cannot handle it.
They can, but
to some extent,
our teeth can be dislodged and then we'll start to bleed. Yeah. And if, as someone supervising a mosh, once you see blood on something, you take it away. If you can sanitize it, it can go back into the mosh. If you can't get the blood off of it, it's done. Because the safety of everyone is the first concern.
You know what? I would like to be a fly on the wall here in one of your moshes at some point.
Well, since you say that.
Speak, O mouthpiece. So, actually on March the 13th, every second Saturday is the Pup Bar Night at Ripcord. So,
second Friday.
Oh, what did I say?
Saturday.
Second Friday. We're not on Saturdays yet. Second Friday is our bar night. And the next one is March the 13th. And we will actually be doing a puppy mosh. So anybody that wants to come out and see what it's all about is very welcome to come out. We're also doing a big fundraiser for Snap at the same time. I know it's awkward for human puppies to be advocating for spaying and neutering. It sounds weird, but do want to help the organization, so we'll be doing that. But it's going to be a good time. We also have Mama Sandy Reinhart is going to be in town for the Houston Spirit of Leather Awards, so she's going to stop by the mosh and kind of cheer us on. She loves her four-legged friends as well. So, but yes, mosh is coming March 13th.
Ray, you gotta go. We gotta go.
It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be fun.
That wasn't a can we. That was we're going.
We're going. Okay.
I've been trying to get there for months now.
Oh, really? So, this event, is it mainly a gay event? Or
there it's are open some to everyone.
Open to everyone. Mm-hmm. Have you had heterosexual guys coming in?
Actually. Are you to any puppy mosh or just to the mosh specifically?
To the moshes.
You can talk on ours. I'll talk on the national ones that I've done.
I was just going to hand you the mic so they could hear you.
Okay. All right. For the ones that the IML mosh, anyone is welcome. Most puppies don't discriminate.
Okay.
You go down on all fours as long as you're not like nude. Yeah. We don't care.
My question is more like, of course, everyone is welcome, but the attendees, the people who are actually there, is it like 80% gays and 20% heterosexual?
It depends on the type of event that you're at. Okay. If it's at a predominantly gay event, you're going to have a majority of gay people in the mosh. Chip and I went to a mosh in New Orleans. There was straight people, there was lesbians, there was gay guys.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they came and were in the mosh. It's all really dependent on who you're catering to with your event.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much like with any fetish, it runs the gamut of sexual preference, be it gay, straight, bi, mm-hmm. whatever you identify as. So, I mean, there are... There are straight pup groups, just like there's a gay pup group, and we're actually our organization is open to
anyone,
all members, no matter what your sexual identity is. But there are some that are solely gay. There are some that are solely straight. It really runs the gamut, and depends what you plug in with best.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, like we said earlier, puppies are very inclusive, and like the one that we went to in New Orleans. The MAL puppy mosh this past year, a really good friend of ours, I'm not actually sure how old Amelia is, but she's a little bit older. She identifies actually as a wolf, but she is female, bisexual, a bit older than most of the other pups, and she's legally blind. But she goes out and she moshes with everybody else. She pulls on toys and runs around and has a great time as much as she can. And then when she's done, she actually, the next station she's at is at the bootblack station. And she's awesome. She's an amazing bootblack. But good friend of ours. But then you also see at other events, you see like the DFW pups in Dallas-Fort Worth. They have gay members, straight members, bisexual, transgender, everybody. It runs the full gamut. But they've been a little more established for a bit longer than we have. So, you know, that's kind of to be expected. But puppy groups are so all-inclusive.
So I was thinking about the handlers at that point for a heterosexual group, mm-hmm. I should say couple. Would it be more like the handler is the guy and the handler or the handler? Is it a
big mix? Oh. I think it's the other way around.
There is no gender.
There's no gender
requirement because like we said, like if a puppy can, if there's any form of identifier to the person in the leather world, the kink world, whatever, they can also be a puppy.
Okay.
And they can also be a handler. Well, a lot of people tend to do both. Like,
yeah.
If their partner's also a puppy, they'll be like, you go puppy, I'll be handler. And they'll switch on and off.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that you could do a switch.
I want to make also a good point. Our previous international puppy and handler couple, the puppy was transgender, female to male, and the handler is a biological female.
Okay.
And so they represented us internationally in these titles and did an amazing job.
Yeah.
And they're actually from Dallas-Fort Worth. So
so Big Dex, this is amazing.
It's an interesting group because we span the whole realm of that what everybody calls now the pansexual stuff, but it's really simpler than that because we don't really see that when we're in puppy mode.
Are cat people allowed?
Yes.
Yes, we have a
kitty.
We'll
chase them, but they're allowed.
We have a kitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will chase her.
There's a term here called tugger pup.
What?
Hey?
No, that's an actual puppy.
That's an actual puppy. How does some of the questions that they are copying
on
there.
So. Okay. Okay. So there are tuggers? I guess.
No, that's a puppy name.
That's a puppy name. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Like all we call you Nard.
All right, okay. Thank you. Okay.
Wow. I'm thinking of more questions because this is just so interesting. It's one of the best interviews we've ever had, Rick, for 10 years. Oh my God. Because, you know, there's actually interaction. It's in our neighborhood too, and I never knew. Right? So, Ray, you gotta go, okay?
Oh, I'll be there.
You'll be there at the mosh. Okay. So, anything, Ray? Anything else?
I will be in the mosh. I'm too old to do that shit, but I'll be there.
You are no one is too old.
I'm too old.
No, you're not. You are not. You're not.
I might be a trainer and a handler one day, but I am too old to be a pup.
I have knee pads. I have knee pads that you can borrow, and a little Aleve goes a long way.
We'll put you on one of those carts you roll into the car with.
No, I was thinking one of those things that we could just hook his hips up to with the little wheels on the back.
Oh, be a little Jack Russell. Just.
Chihuahua.
So, where in Facebook are you? What's your link on Facebook?
Yeah, how do they find Bayou City
Pups? So you can find us at BayouCityPups.com on Facebook at Facebook.com/BayouCityPups. That's we're the only ones. We are growing very rapidly. And our membership is increasing by the droves. We said earlier that it's trendy. And that's one thing that's the reason why we are wanting to do things like this, to talk more about it and also do the class that's coming up to let people know really what is it about and that it's not just the cool new thing for the young gay guy to do and that kind of thing. We want to make sure that people understand that, you know, there is a mentality behind it. You often hear people when they say they, you know, are pups, they talk about it almost like you hear bears talk about, you know, another coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you come out of the closet the first time and you come out as a bear. You hear that a lot. You hear that about puppies too. It's like, I discovered my puppy side and that was, you know, at this point. And they can actually pinpoint when it happened and the moment when they said, this makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Ding, light bulb moment, very much so.
I was 17.
So bears woof. What do pups do?
Oh, well, that's talking, but
like a rough bark. Yep.
Yeah. Barkity bark bark or woof.
Fill in any onomatopoeia that you can think of that correlates.
Yeah. Yeah. So but, later, do you think we can have a small mosh here?
But you'll often hear us also howl. Like for example, if you guys come to or anybody comes out to any events where pups are. Even if it's not a puppy event, think about when you see, you know, everybody starts clapping for whatever's going on. There's clapping. Then you see the members of the deaf community that are there doing their clapping.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They're clapping. You often hear the pups just howling as well because that's our version of clapping.
I see.
So, and what's really funny is when you hear us, you know, clap and then see us do this and then howl.
We love everybody.
Hey, Macarena.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Quiet over there.
Bayou City Pups.
Okay. Yes, Bayou City Pups.
You know, I gotta let he owns the podcast. I gotta let him get away with some stuff.
Just a few.
I thought this was your segment.
The alpha of the show.
I'm the alpha of the show.
Oh.
He peed on it. It's his.
All right. So
that's what that is.
I guess, that's it. Thank you guys for joining us. It's awesome.
Awesome.
And showing us a little bit of demo, explaining a lot of things.
And y'all are selling the bones, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Flubber costs extra.
Yeah. So, been making these, actually, it's denim and an antimicrobial polyester fill that you can wash so you can chew on it. Dogs can chew on it. Babies can chew on it. You can even eat it. It's safe. It's eco-friendly. But it's the goal here is these toys are, each one of them is made by hand, but we're selling them for $10. And you can actually go to our Bayou City Pups Facebook, and you can find the link out there to buy them, and they can be shipped to you. But 100% of the proceeds is going to SNAP to their animal aid program, which provides low or no cost health care to take care of pets of people living with HIV and AIDS. Mm-hmm. So again, this is, you know, done completely at my kitchen table. Mm-hmm. So we're making these, you know, to give back.
Awesome. Yes. Oh, again, so thank you guys for joining us. All right. Okay, so, well, that concludes our show. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. If you want to contact us questions. Oh, I like that hat. I didn't know it's a hat to a mask. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah, you can contact us, email us at show@bearpodcast.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voice message at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Give us a call, leave us a voice message, and we'll play it on the show.
Yes, and subscribe via iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. You can listen to the show on Bear Radio Network and Stitcher Radio. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Squirrel.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.
Yeah,
oh,
hell.
Oh, no, okay.
I'll bite you.
No, but we all do actually have toys.
Victory is mine.